This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Live and Learn. I'm Dashran Johan. And my guest on today's show is Tan Chee Yong. He's a graduate from the University of Cambridge. And he managed to secure scholarships from three prestigious funding bodies, Cambridge Trust Scholarship, the Tunku Abdul Rahman Scholarship, and the Cambridge Malaysian Commonwealth Studies Centre, MCSC. And these scholarships are to study a PhD in development studies. And his dissertation for his PhD will be focusing on Malaysia's development policy and the future of the country. Hello, Chee Yong. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for inviting, Dash. Hello, everyone.
All right. Chee Yong, let's take it from the top, right? Take me back to the moment you found out you received the scholarships to pursue your PhD in development studies. What were you doing exactly? How did you even discover the news?
Right. It was a total surprise to me. Could you imagine? I was doing my master dissertation. I was trying to put all the pieces together, rushing to complete it and to submit on time. And out of the sudden, the news just came in. And you couldn't imagine this. My friend all got their scholarship in March, which is far earlier than I got it, which I just got it last month. And who knows that, you know, towards the end of my master degree, I suddenly got scholarship, not only one, but three scholarships at a time, almost the end of master dissertation. That is a total surprise to me. And I say, well, my destiny is sealed and I'm going to do a PhD.
You sound really excited, Chee Yong, and I know this must mean a lot to you, right? But was this scholarship something you've been gunning for a very, very long time? Was this something that you know you really, really wanted?
Not really, though, because in the beginning, like many other people, I was just thinking of completing my undergraduate degrees, right? And who knows that one day my academic supervisor, my peers and my teachers say that I have a potential, especially in the field of policy making and governance. And I think that really inspired me. And they said they will write me a reference letter to be submitted for consideration. And who knows, they submitted it. I not only secure an offer, and even secured scholarship, full scholarship from three bodies to cover my PhD. I think because of that, I am meant to be. So I think this is something that I can do in the future.
So were you really excited when you found out the news? You said, like you said, you know, your friends got their scholarship in March and then you only managed to secure it in June. So was there a moment where you know, in between March and June, where some of your friends have already gotten the scholarship, where you thought, I don't know, maybe I'm not going to get this and this will mark the end of my tertiary education. Did that go through your mind while you were waiting for the scholarship?
Yes, I was thinking of maybe I should just stop there. You know, maybe I just go back to Malaysia. But because I secure a scholarship, I think this scholarship will enable me to contribute to my nation better. When I got it right, especially from the Tunku Abdul Rahman Scholarship, it meant so much to me. The nation founding father talks about development and a better nation for everyone. If they are willing to sponsor me for this scholarship, it means that they believe in me, that I can be of great use to my nation, Malaysia. Hopefully, in the future, when I come back, I can contribute to my country better using my knowledge.
Well, congratulations on getting these scholarships. Now, your dissertation will focus on Malaysia's development policy and the future of the nation. Why did you choose to do research in this particular area?
You know, when I was sponsored by Yayasan Khazana 4 years ago, you know, I was thinking about doing diplomacy, which is international relations for the country. Because we are in the unique positions of in Malaysia, we have all the strategic resources and we have all the perfect climates and we have all the human talents here. But the problem facing our country is that our wealth is not equally distributed. People are leaving behind some of that, especially in the fishermen communities, in the kampong, in the rural areas. And I wonder, why is there such a case? And that really inspired me to do something that I want to do for a country, especially coming from a slightly privileged background. But by privilege, it doesn't mean I'm rich, but I say that I'm much fortunate than many other people. So if the country is willing to give me a chance to study something better and to contribute better, so that I think it is my job to give back to the country that give me so much. So that's why I want to do development planning and also policy planning for my country.
You mentioned that, you know, the the resources, you know, in this country, they're not distributed equally. What do you mean by that?
Let me give you an example. Let's say talk about hospital resources, especially now, COVID-19 pandemic, vaccination drive. People in with bigger, better hospital facilities in the cities are able to access to vaccine easily because they have ready facilities that provide the vaccine, which, like, for example, Pfizer requires negative 60 to 70 negative degrees Celsius for storage. But if you go to Sarawak and Sabah, into the rural area, they don't have the resources to store this vaccine, and how could they distribute the vaccine to them in time, right? So this is something that I want to tackle, to look at the development gaps between the regions and to think of a solution to overcome and to narrow the gaps that can benefit all Malaysians.
When did you start thinking about these things, Chiong? Was it something relatively recently from your college days onwards, or is this something you started thinking about at a young age? Because I'm curious, because you said, you know, you are not like super rich or anything like that, but you don't come from the B40 background necessarily, right? So why does this issue of, you know, urban poverty, socioeconomic inequality mean so much to you?
Perdana Fellowship, I joined Perdana Fellowship in 2018, and that really opened my mind. Oh my, you think about that. You know, being a Perdana Fellow means that you have the exposure to policymaking in the public sector as well. So my minister and the ministry team brought me to different areas, especially I work in the Ministry of Works, to give background information. So I was given an opportunity to visit, you know, schools, rural areas, kampong in Sarawak, especially because my minister was from Sarawak. So when you went there, you discover that they don't have even like sufficient, a well-equipped library. They don't have a well-equipped classroom for learning. They don't have enough teacher. Something that we have taken for granted for decades here in the West Malaysia is not seen in East Malaysia. And that really opened my mind, saying that, why is there such a case? And that inspired me, saying that if we are able to do more to contribute back to the nation and to make a change to this situation, and if I am capable of doing so, I should do it. And that really opens my mind and set my foot, at least in the area of policymaking and development planning.
That's excellent. Now, when it comes to academic achievement, I really want to talk to you about academic achievement, Chiong, because, you know, of course, it's you know, to be, you know, able to secure three prestigious scholarship in one of the best universities in the world, you know, you have to achieve a certain level of academic success. I'm wondering, have you always been this way? Were you, you know, the guy who always placed top in class growing up, primary school, secondary school?
Not really. It might sound as a surprise to you, my friend. You know, let me just tell you a background. I wasn't doing well in my SPM. I just secured a 6A and 6B to put it general. And right. I only managed to turn the table in my A-levels. So luckily enough, I fulfilled the grades for my A-levels, and I only discovered my passion in my degree when I was studying in the UK. And that was a time when I started to think that, because this is something that I like, if you're passionate about something that you love, you will put in effort to it and you will do it better. And that's how I achieved a better grade in my university, and I achieved a first class degree and proceeded with Cambridge, and now hence the PhD.
How big of a role does passion play in your pursuit of academic excellence?
I think, you know, one thing that COVID-19 pandemic taught me is that even if you are rich or you want to pursue whatever dream, whatever, but it's important to live a happy life and the life that you desire. And if you want to do something in your life, do something meaningful and do something that you are truly passionate about, because you only live once. So because of that, I think I want to define my own life. I want to define what I want in my life. That's why I say, if you are doing something you are passionate about, you will thrive in it, you will sustain it, because you will put in effort to make it a reality for you. And that's the role that passions play in our life. And that's the philosophy of what guided me throughout the years.
What if I cannot find my passion, Chiong? Because you mentioned the importance of passion, but I have a lot of friends who, you know, they live their lives. It's not that they are really sad or anything, but they don't really have a passion. They don't really have something that they're particularly invested in, or, you know, an area that they're particularly interested in. So, you know, they sort of just go to work, they come back, and then they do, you know, they just live their lives that way. And one of the complaints that they always say, or they tell me, oh, you are so lucky because you found your passion, yada, yada, yada. So how would you, what would you tell people who say they don't have a passion, or they haven't found their passion, or they don't even know how to go about finding their passion?
I found my passion at a very random occasion, to be honest. I was like any other person that I didn't know my passion until an education fair in my high school. Can you imagine that? Like, you know, your parents, your teachers just tell you, you know, you should become an engineer, you should become a doctor, you should become a lawyer, an accountant, right? But I just don't like all of this, man. So, but things like, you know, when you look at the things around you carefully, just like how I found my passion at the random education fair, I found out from a prospectus saying that that's a degree called international relations. And this is something that I'm interested in. And I asked the guy, what is this about? It's about policy planning. It's about diplomacy. It's about politics. It's about how human relates to each other. And then, from that moment onwards, I discovered that this is my passion. And I'm quite lucky I met the guy who explained this to me. And because of that, it sparked my interest in policy planning, development planning, and diplomacy. And hence, how I got here today. From that day onwards until now, I found my passion. I'm quite lucky. Yeah. But if you look carefully around you, I hope that you can find your passion and also to become a philosophy that guides your life.
On the show with me today is Tan Chee Yong, a graduate from the University of Cambridge, who managed to secure scholarships from three prestigious funding bodies to study a PhD in development studies. After the break, I'll be talking to him about his parents, their passing, and how he persevered through it all. We'll be back on Live and Learn, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Live and Learn. I'm Dashran Johan, and on the show with me today is Tan Chee Yong, a graduate from the University of Cambridge who managed to secure scholarships from three prestigious funding bodies to study a PhD in development studies. Now, Chiyong, tell me about your family. What was it like growing up? Did your parents spend a lot of time at work? And did they, more importantly, right, did they stress the importance of education? Were you, you know, did you have a family that have a very rigid structure? You know, you have to study, you know, X amount of hours every day, get your homework done. You know, studies is very important. You need to get good grades. Tell me about your family.
Not really, though. I was disappointing them from time to time in academic education. But luckily enough, they are not tiger parents to me.
Right.
So that I was given a free reins in my own life. So they say, whatever you like, just go for it. Especially my mom. My mom say, you know, in life, you just live once. If you are given an opportunity to choose again, choose something that you like. So I'm quite grateful that they have given me the freedom to choose what I like. So it is their philosophy which also guides me in my decision-making, right, in my life.
Hmm. Now, you've not had it easy. Your father passed away when you were a kid. And in 2016, your mom passed away as well before you could even complete your A-levels, am I right?
Yes.
Now, losing both your parents at such a young age, it's incredibly heartbreaking. I can't even imagine it, right? How did you not let it break you? How did you persevere through it all and achieve what you've achieved all by yourself?
So far, during that time, it was the toughest time in my life. But my mom said to me that every cloud has a silver lining. She was a strong woman. She put her family in front, like at the front row. She take care of everyone, including my grandma, even though some of my relatives were in serious illness. She just took care of everyone selflessly, raised me and saying that, Yang Yang, she called me Xiang Yang, saying that this is your life and every cloud has a silver lining. If you believe in it, you can persevere through it. Nothing cannot be overcome. So if my mom can achieve that, could imagine during that difficult time, even after she passed away, right? How can I not achieve that as her son? So What I did was that during the toughest time in my life, I reminded myself of my mom's spirit and saying that if my mom can achieve that, why not I? And it was that spirit that guided me to overcome the financial challenges, academic challenges, and life challenges. And I say I will proceed with my plan, apply for university, apply for scholarship, and I want to achieve my dream. I don't want to let my mom down. And that's what led me to persevere through the challenges and led me to what am I today.
Did you have a support system going through that tough times? Who did you, were there anyone that you could rely on? Were there sort of other family members that helped you out a little bit here and there financially? Or did you have to do everything by yourself?
Fortunately, my babysitter, who is still in close contact with me after so many years, and my mom's brother, which is my uncle, who helps me a bit with, you know, settling this insurance issues, you know, like this and that, a lot of things. Luckily enough, they all help me on that. But the problem is that not many of them actually go to universities. So this is something, especially going overseas, this is something that I have to do it on my own. If I have a dream and no one can help me with that, I have to figure the way out on my own. So some of the part I'm fortunate that I have their help, but some of the part I had to do my homework.
And what sort of homework did you have to do? Perhaps you can shed some light on how you managed to apply to study at one of the most prestigious universities in the world. What was that process like?
So you need to be firm on what you want to achieve. Do not let, you know, something get in your way. Do not let obstacles to get hold of you. So during the toughest time of my life, despite all the challenges, I say I still want to go ahead with my dream, and I want to know all the dates, crucial dates for different deadlines. The application for university admission, the application for scholarship admission, the application for visa application. So you need to write it down properly and follow your plan. If you follow your plan closely, and hopefully it will turn out better. And that's how it guided me. So I managed to go through it one by one, step by steps. And after all, luckily enough, I managed to achieve that. And I got a scholarship to study in the UK.
And was that, you know, did you have one particular university in mind, or did you, you know, just apply for a lot and hope you get something? Because I'm assuming these things, you can, it's so unpredictable, right? You don't know whether you're going to get in or not. Did you have to face a lot of failures throughout the process?
Not really, because in the university application for the UK, you are only required to choose 5 universities. So you have to choose it wisely. So I did my research on different universities and their expertise, and I discovered that these are the few universities that I wanted to study because they offer some of the best teaching and resources in the world for my subject, international relations. So I put in my choices in the UCAS application, the application apps for UK university admission, and I submitted my application to it, and we'll see which offer comes through. And I have to just decide on which offer to accept. And King's College London came into my application. So I accepted King's College London.
And what was the experience like studying there?
Fantastic, man. It's like, can you imagine? London is the heart of the world. You can imagine the parliaments having meetings, people are talking about big issues that are affecting their life, the NHS, the National Health Services, the local council, and everything that people are talking about policy. People are not only talking about politicians and their life, but talking about the policy details that are really affecting what is happening in the country. And this is something that really fascinates me, you know. And this is something that I hope in the future that Malaysian can also, you know, take part collectively in policy making life together as a society, and to scrutinize every policy that is going through, because these are the policy that are going to shape their life. So I hope something like this can be seen in Malaysia in the future when we mature into a better society and we can all take part in making our nation better for everyone to live.
Now, Cheong, we live in weird times now, am I right? You know, tough times because of the COVID-19 pandemic. My sister, for example, she just did her A-levels and she's pretty much spent her entire pre-U life behind a laptop screen, barely went to college, barely made, you know, any friends in person. And of course, naturally, she complains a lot about it, right? Because that's not what you want your college life to be. What was it like studying in the UK, especially during a pandemic?
I'm no different in relation to your sister situation. But I'm quite fortunate that Cambridge, actually, at the beginning of my academic year in September, there are still some minor social event that was like held with social distancing rule applies. So I can still make some friends. So I made quite some friends, although not as good as during the normal time, but I still managed to make some friends and to meet with peers and to discuss academic stuff with them. So to a certain extent, UK, especially in Cambridge, a small town, there are some form of normalcy, especially in the library. So you can still use the library for your academic studies, and that really helps me a bit with my academic studies. So I'm quite fortunate in that regard.
No, Chiyoung, when you were and when you are pushing yourself, you know, year after year, since, you know, doing your A-levels and all that, to achieve academic excellence, are there moments where the competitive nature of it, you know, becomes too overwhelming to the point that it affects your mental health? Or is the competitive nature of it, to achieve academic excellence, something that you thrive on?
Of course, you understand the stress that you are dealing with, especially in prestigious universities in the world.
Tell me about the kind of stress that you face there as well.
Like, you know, your peers are doing well every day. They wrote good essays, they talk about theories, they talk about how to apply it. And I understand that, you know, people like that seriously put pressure on you. If you're not performing well, it sounds like you are not really doing well in your life. But one thing that always reminds me is that my mom's, during my struggle in my early life, is that if I can manage to persevere through the toughest period of my life, and why can't I settle even just my tackle just my academic challenges? I remind myself, this is just another challenge. And you have to overcome the challenge, and you can overcome the challenge. If you can even manage to overcome something tough in your life before, why not later? So first thing you have to do is to have a plan. Always have a plan, discuss your plan, and to implement your plan with a settled mind. If you can achieve that with a settled mind, I'm sure that you can deal with the stress. But of course, if you are facing serious challenges in your life, do approach your counselor or your teachers to ask for help, because there's always help for you. And don't think negatively. We will always be there. The society is ready for you.
So I want to ask you something. How would you define success?
I mean, success for me, in the simple term, is that everyone can achieve happiness. Because if there is one thing that COVID-19 taught me, is that, and also my mom's, the early days in my life, is that life is short. You only live once. Do something that you love about, be happy, and that's more important. And more importantly, spend more time with your family and friends. Because I lost my parents, and for me, now I appreciate every moment of my life, and I hope I can be happy and doing something that I like and to contribute back to the society that nurtures me.
So what's next after you've done your PhD? When are you going to pursue your PhD? When is it going to start, by the way?
It'll be starting in 3 months' time, which is this October.
All right. So you are going to do your dissertation, going to do your PhD. What's next after that? What are you hoping to pursue or achieve?
Since my nation has given their faith, has like put their faith in me, I hope after my PhD, I can come back and serve the nation either in policy making by joining maybe Khazanah National or Khazanah related institution or public institutions or any GLC that can allow me to make use of my knowledge to contribute to policy planning, development planning, or nation building. So I'm hoping that in the future, I can join this role and to make my mark in the nation progress.
All right. As we wrap up this conversation, Chiyoung, do you have a final message that you'd like to leave us with? Something about, you know, perhaps striving for excellence and what it, you know, what you require to achieve that?
First of all, I would say that first, you need to do something that you like. Just like if you do something that you like, you will put in your effort in it. You will put in more time on it. And because you are doing more and more and putting in more effort to do it, you will eventually thrive and excel in it. So do something that you like, then you will thrive in it. This is just my simple message. Don't do something just for the sake of doing it, but do something because it is your passion and something that you like.
On that note, thanks so much for joining me today, Chi-Yong.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
That was Tan Chi-Yong, a graduate from the University of Cambridge, who managed to secure scholarships from three prestigious funding bodies to study a PhD in development studies. If you missed any part of the conversation, you can check out the podcast on the BFM app, bfm.my, or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Dashrin Johan, and this has been Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.